You're listening to the World Champion in Life podcast, where we discuss ways to live your life to the fullest. Each week, we interview leaders in the areas of health, wellness, finance, and fitness. Now, here's your host, Brett Fenton.
This is part two of our interview with Kerry Gashley. Hope you enjoy.
You do do those things, Brett, so you can go both ways.
Absolutely.
You know, if you say you're a vegetarian, well, then you're going to eat vegetables, right? So it's not just that you don't eat meat. You're not going to eat, you know, just live on pasta either at that point. You're probably going to eat vegetables.
Absolutely.
And so same thing with wealth or health or where all those things is that, you know, yeah, because when that's what your identity is, you're going to act like that person because that's just natural. That's why we got to be that person first. And the rest happens, by the way, all these people that I've worked with, and I mean, I've been in front of over a million people in my life and worked with tens of thousands of people. The reason I get such dynamic results with so many people, I mean, mind-blowing, awe-inspiring results, is because I help them reinvent themselves. Because that's really what you're doing is you're, you know, it's not a wipe the old self off the board and try to put in this brand new person. It's making some fine tunings to who you are right now. Because the difference between gold at the Olympics and fourth is only 1/100th of a second difference in time. So it's not like a whole pool length where the first place person touches the wall and then the second place person, right? It's you know, a fraction of a second. But that gold medalist was willing to do just a little bit more than the rest of the field was willing to do. But the results and the rewards they get are dramatically different. Same thing here is you got to start making some fine tuning adjustments to reinventing yourself. And that's part of it is start identifying yourself as that person right now and say it and say it passionately and say it over and over again. And then ask, how would that person be acting? You know, that question, because you go, well, if I was wealthy, I'd be studying some ways to make some money and, you know, investments and whatever it is. You might go, well, I don't know any of that stuff. Okay. But it comes down to education and an application. Right?
Absolutely.
Learn it, put it in action. Learn it, put it in action. Learn it, put it in action, then follow through, which means stay with it until you get the result.
Yeah, absolutely. I think over the last probably, I suppose, since Steve Jobs' time, one of the things, the model of a successful person and the vision of a successful person changed like around the Steve Jobs time, because up until then, probably everyone thought that to be successful, you had to look successful, you had to wear the cool suit, wear the expensive watch, drive the expensive car, do all of those things that said that you were successful, but they were more of a facade for a lot of people. And then Steve Jobs comes along and he's just wearing skivvies, pants, and has no, really doesn't spend money on anything. And that seems to be the more popular direction that most entrepreneurs, successful ones, go in. Their t-shirt and jeans, like look at Zuckerberg, that's all he wears, t-shirt and jeans. He doesn't care about wearing expensive watches and clothes, and like they're obviously nice to have, but their focus is on getting better, more educated, driving their business forward, living life, and the clothing doesn't really make a big difference with that, nor does the cars. So I think some people can get confused with fake it till you make it by going, well, I'll dress like I'm a Hollywood superstar, and then people will think I am, and then I will be rich, and they just waste a lot of money on expensive items that they usually outgrow because they don't look after their nutrition. So other areas of life that you find that people struggle in, other than setting goals and being successful, what's another area? Like I often hear, because like we're getting older now, and people once they get probably past 40s and 50s start going, oh, I'm too old to do that. That was when I was young, and they use that excuse a lot. Like you're about to go for your black belt, and how old are you again, Kerry?
Well, if I celebrated my birthday, I'd be 57 rotations around the sun.
There you go. So, and you're about to do 10 years of training into getting that black belt, and that's going to be a tough night, but an enjoyable night, I'm sure. So how do you stay young, I suppose? Like I train, I eat well, and I spend a lot of time around young people. That helps me. What are your secrets for that?
Well, it's funny what you said, Brett, is that, you know, people think I'm too old. You know, they say for themselves that they're too old. The funny part is those are the same people that there's a time in life when they were also saying I'm too young, right? So I want to know is when is the perfect time? You know, like, like you finally figure it out and you go, oh, man, that was last week. I missed it. The thing is that, you know, I hold myself to a higher standard, you know. So in life, most people wish really big, but they expect very little. And in life, you get what you expect. So I expect more out of myself than anybody else does. And I will always live up to those expectations. And if you want, you know, somebody really wants to shift the results in your life and shift to get the level of joy you get to have, is you got to expect more out of yourself. Because then it's funny how you'll automatically start living up to that expectation. So, you know, I started Aikido. Well, I've done it when I was a kid, and then I did it in LA for a couple of years, but never really dedicated and serious about it like I am now. So that started when I was 47. There's most people starting at like, you know, 12 and 14. Mm. There's a woman who's going in for her knee down black belt. I knew her when she was 14 years old in the juniors class. But I had to take a couple of years off because I had blew a knee during a grading and had to have knee surgery and stuff. And since then, she's actually surpassed me, and now she's on her way to her knee done. But, you know, you throw me on the mat hard and whatever, I get up smiling. And people say, you know, you're actually really dangerous, man. You know, the harder we throw you, the more you smile. And I go, because you ain't going to beat me mentally, right? Because when your body's not going to give up until your mind does. So it's about strengthening your mind. And that, again, comes from expecting more out of yourself. You know, people ask me about my grading, you know, what happens if I don't pass? And I go, I show up on Monday and I keep training. And I go, oh, okay. And they go, what if you do get your black belt? I show up on Monday and I keep training. The only thing that changes is my gi is closed with a different color belt. But also it then raises the bar about even more about what I expected of myself. Being a black belt, yeah, I got to go represent because I've 400 years of lineage that I'm representing now. You know, people, you know, samurais and stuff that put their life on the line learning Aikido. And most people, well, my life's not on the line. Sure it is. All your dreams, all your goals. And, you know, I live in a peaceful place on the planet. I mean, I'm not expecting danger, you know, even when I travel all over the world. And I lived in LA and I lived in Chicago and I've been in Kuwait and through Asia and all that stuff. And I don't look for trouble, but that doesn't mean it can't find you. And so, you know, it's the old martial arts saying is, you know, I'd rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in the war. You know, is it's better to be prepared. But also is when you carry yourself at that level, you know, predators don't really want to deal with you because you don't look like a victim. This is not just about martial arts, though. It's about, again, anything in life. Expect more out of yourself. You know, I mean, it's not about the money I make in business, and it's not about any of those things. Business means to make money. So if you're going to be in business and you're not making money, well, that's called a hobby. So, yeah, it's about making money in business, but that doesn't make me a better person. But as a businessman, yeah, I want to see what can I do with it. Can I be the guy that really used to live in his car and be homeless to be a guy who's made multiple million dollars? And I've done that. You know, and it's kind of cool because my dad never made $1 million in his whole lifetime combined. So it's, you know, but be a great dad and a great parent and a great husband and a person who lived life. That's what I'm going for. But all that other stuff, you might as well experience it while you're here, because when you go to the next life, I don't know if that stuff you wanted to try here is even existence. Mm. So you got to hold yourself to that standard and go, man, what's the craziest thing I could do that I've always dreamed about wanting to do or experience? And then expect it in yourself. Expect that you're going to get that. And funny thing is, you'll live up to those expectations.
Yep, absolutely. So you've experienced obviously some of the highest highs and some of the lowest lows that anyone will ever experience in life. I know chatted before about some of the stories of your life, and I've been talking to a lot of people in my circle recently about because when I have a reasonably good win, they'll go, well, you should celebrate that. And then I go, well, I am celebrating. I'm like saying, yep, I'm really happy that that's happened. Yep, that's good. I'll give myself a bit of a high five. And but then it's like, I'm onto the next thing. And they go, oh, okay. And then I go, well, I can't celebrate too high. And I can't, if something goes bad, I can't like despond too long. And so I'm just trying to stay that equilibrium all the time where I'm up and down a little bit over that equilibrium, as opposed to spiking really high when things are great and then dropping down into a trough when things are bad, because I find that that's no good for A, my mental health, but anyone else around me, their mental health. I know your stories were very much like that probably about 30 years ago, and you changed the way you are. How do you maintain that yourself? You just said, gave us a bit of an idea just then about, like, you're going to be, whether you pass or fail your black belt, the next day you're at training, it's going to be either a little bit up or a little bit down, and not going to be overrated, and you're not going to be over despondent either way. You're already preparing for that. How can most people do that? Because I think for me, and I think a lot of people, that will allow them to probably live life a little bit more balanced, I suppose, is the word I'm looking for.
I would recommend, you know, what I do is I celebrate it all. I mean, first is the spirit. I came down here to experience life, you know, not just the fluffy, happy bits, all of it, you know. And yeah, I was in a helicopter crash and five of my friends died. And, you know, I've been through hell and back in my life. But you know what, as a spirit, man, have I tasted life. And I'm like, man, to the creator, if that's what you're handing me, like a helicopter crash, and I'm still standing, that's the best you're going to throw at me, I'm doing it, man. All right, great. You didn't take me off the planet. Now, since I'm still here, I'm living it full out. Like, you know, I'm on borrowed time. I should have been taken 30 years ago in a helicopter where my best friend was only 2 years older than me and died in my arms. But I'm still here, so I'm living it. And I can, you know, throw my life away feeling bad about them, or I can do them honor, because I'm telling you, if they had their life to do over again and could live this long, knowing about what death felt like at that point, they'd be playing full out themselves. So that's the most honorable thing I can do, is live it to the highest, fullest. And I celebrate all of it, including the challenges, because it's the challenges of life that bring a life value. I mean, because it's what forces you into growth. You know, if you didn't get challenged, you'd probably do something stupid just to get some excitement in your life. Mm. So, you know, the challenges force you into what's called perturbation. And perturbation means is to go through your challenges to grow on the other side of that, to perturbate. And, you know, it forces you to learn new things. It forces you to take different actions. It forces you to ask better questions. And then once you grow to that new evolution of yourself, you won't shrink back to the old. You can't. It's, you know, it's, you've grown. You're in that new spot. And if you ever look at your life, you know, some of the worst parts of your life become the most transformational because of what it forced you to do. It forced you to grow. And so I believe that everything happens in the universe has a positive intention attached to it. It's trying to get you to evolve. And so I look for that, you know. I'm like, man, I don't want the small piddly problems, because I'm not going to grow that much. You know, I bring it on, man. If that's what you're going to test me with, bring it on. And if, my belief is the creator would never give me a challenge I couldn't handle, and the rewards are always in proportion to the test. So bring it on. And I have been tested, and I'm still standing. And I am a warrior. You know, I'm not a person who goes to war, but a person who will face my battles to grow on the other side, to get challenged. And, you know, and because I'm celebrating it all, I even celebrate my challenges. Well, all of a sudden, they're not that challenging anymore. You know, it's not like, oh, God, God's challenged me again. He must hate me and all this stuff. I'm like, bring it on, man. You know, that's it. And so it's just like the dojo is, you know, like I said, I blew a knee earlier this year. I had 3 ribs broken. I've dislocated both of my shoulders, and I found out pretty much it was me doing it to myself. But, you know, just through being tight and up tense when I was first training, you know, when I was first getting going. Mm. But I'm still standing. I'm still there training. And I have a great attitude, and I come out of the dojo every day. And I don't care how sore I am, how tired I am, I celebrate. I throw my arms in the air, go in a car, and I'm like Rocky Balboa, just ran up the stairs, you know. Because the only way to keep yourself going is to celebrate. So your brain links up pleasure to moving forward, and it's going to keep wanting to do it, even though it seems like it's quote unquote painful. It's not, though. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I used to weightlift, and, you know, you've done squats and lunges and your legs are so sore you can't even sit down on the toilet. It's funny how then you're like, oh my God, that was a great leg day. You know, like, why? Mm. You're celebrating the pain. And but that's what keeps you going. But anybody goes, oh God, look at this, I can't move, and they put a negative spin on it, you'll quit. And this life, man, it's going to challenge you. It's not fluffy. It's, you know, life doesn't turn out the way that it should. It turns out the way that it does. So it's going to come down to, what are you going to do with it that's going to create the life experience that you get?
Oh, that's cool. I've heard you say that before. It's great. And yeah, there's no guarantees in life. And you can just, like, I like to think of life, I'm spending probably 90% of my thoughts and my emotions and everything are in the present. I will give probably 8% to the future. So one of my coaches calls them, I go fluffy goals, where I know exactly the direction I'm going in, but it can change and move a little bit. That's fine. I'm not going to get too hung up on it. And then I'll probably leave 1 or 2% in the past, because it's nice to reminisce about stuff that was good. I don't worry about the stuff that was bad. And yeah, plus there's all the good 80s music, so I've got to remember that stuff.
That's it. I mean, you know, yeah, the stuff that you're thinking about in the past isn't even the truth. I mean, I'm talking about you specifically, Brett. Mm. I mean, all of us, it's an edited interpretation of what happened. You know, we don't record all of it. Nobody does. That's why if a car accident happens and five witnesses see it, and a police officer interviews those five people, he's going to get five different interpretations of the story. And then there's going to be the driver of both different cars. And then there's also the truth, which, you know, it's always going to be an interpretation. So, as I say, it's never too late to have a great childhood, you know, to look back over your life, you know, instead of thinking about all the dramas and how tough it was and I was bullied, whatever it is, you know, look for the moments that were great. Just like the helicopter crash for me, what changed my life was asking, what was great about it? You know, and that was weird because how can you lose five of your friends and see things that I saw during that, you know, accident that you can't erase in your mind? But you know what? If you're holding yourself again to that standard and you expect it out of yourself that you're going to get an answer, well, all of a sudden, wait a minute. At least I had five friends to lose. Mm. Some people have nobody. And, you know, at least my buddy Mike died in my arms, not in a stranger's arms. You know, at least somebody who loves him was with them at that moment. And all the care to keep him and the other guys alive was given to those people because I was one of those people helping, and I saw a lot of other people helping. You know, that I forgot to mention that I saved two people's lives that day. But see, when you get caught up in your drama, you know, you forget about those good parts. And one of the other great things is I actually lived. I have another chance to keep, you know, every day I wake up with gratitude and appreciation and awe and wonder. You know, my saying is that every night that I go to sleep, I die, and every morning when I wake up, I'm born. So what do you want to do with your life today? Play full out. It's all right here. It's in this moment. And tomorrow, I don't know if any of us get tomorrow. You know, we got Donald Trump as a president of the United States. The only reason he got elected is Jerry Springer wasn't available. Huh. And but the thing is that, you know, we can, I mean, it's a joke. I don't really give that pro-Trump or anti-Trump. The thing is, you know, it's not a president or a prime minister that's going to change the world. It's going to be us. We're way more powerful than any one person can be. You know, when we start changing our lives, we start living it to the fullest, because that's going to be our experience. Hold yourself to that standard, and all of a sudden, your life changes.
Excellent, excellent. So, Kirik, we'll probably look at wrapping up and allowing you to finish on a high note there. What would be your last parting advice to our listeners to basically get going, I suppose? They can obviously go onto your website and your Facebook page and contact you, and they could obviously get your book, How Would Love Respond? What are the best ways to get hold of you, and just like your last parting advice?
Well, KirikAshley.com is the website. You know, there's a free online 10-day program. It's a game changer. It's called Get Out of Your Bad Mood. Any mood that doesn't support your success and happiness, I deem as a bad mood. So it's about managing how you think and feel to produce different results. And there's lots of videos on there, and, you know, it's all free and whatever. And again, you can purchase the book if you want. My thing would be is, you know, that if somebody lent you a really nice car, a BMW, Ferrari, Mercedes Benz, and they asked you to take care of that car, well, when they came back asking back for their car, would you make the attempt to give it back to them the same shape, if not better than it was given you? And I would assume that everybody listening today would say, yes, I would. Well, your body is the vehicle that your creator gave you to transport your soul through your adventure through life. So when you're asked back for it, make sure it's in the same shape, if not better than what was given to you. And remember that all your dreams come true when you make the decision to make them come true. And I'm very honored to be on your show with you, Brett. And if you ever want me back, just let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Kirik. It's been a pleasure having you on here. I will probably get you on in the next few months again, and we'll cover some awesome different topics. And but that, I think that's a good starting point for everyone, so they can work out how to start get going. It's very important. So awesome. Thank you once again. I give my best to Erin. She was a great interviewee the other day. So look forward to, and you'll be on the air probably in about 4 or 5 weeks.
Awesome. Let me know and we'll send it out to our list as well.
Perfect. All right. Thank you very much. That was episode 8 with Keurig Ashley. Look forward to chatting next week. Bye now.